Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey guys, for any of you out there who have parents who want you to date someone Jewish, well, almost half of my guests so far have mentioned that they use J-Swipe. If you haven't heard of it, it's in New York, LA, Miami. If you want to date that French or Israeli guy, they have quality talent all around the world. And if you download the app, for We Met at Acme listeners, they'll give you a free month of premium, which means that you can basically meet your soulmate. So just DM JSwipe now, and you'll get everything you want. And my guest today is one of the best Jews in the game. So get excited. Listen up. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with my friend and the founder of The Big Quiet, which is a meditation community, Jesse Israel.
Hey everybody, thanks for having me, Lenny.
Thanks for being here. I'm so happy to finally have gotten you on here. I feel like you're like the busiest guy in town. So tell us about yourself. How old are you and where are you from?
33 years old. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I came out here when I was 18 to go to NYU, and I've been here ever since.
Awesome. And what is your current relationship status?
My current relationship status is slightly undefined. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing somebody for about 3 months, so we're at that unclear point. Mm-hmm. We just had our first talk about what it meant, and we didn't land at anything, but just started talking about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll revisit that.
We will.
Let's talk about The Big Quiet and about Medi Club. Tell everyone about what meditation means to you and kind of how this came about.
Sure. So I used to run a record label. It was something that I started when I was a sophomore at NYU. My roommate and I signed the band MGMT, and as they took off, we just had this really fun run.
Yeah.
Doing this business, signing bands, eventually had a tech fund. And while I was in my 20s running that business, I was having panic attacks and experiencing a lot of anxiety. And that's actually how I got into meditation in my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And it became this really powerful tool for me as I grew in the music and tech world and sort of started to make sense of what it meant to be a man. Having meditation was a really meaningful practice. Mm-hmm. And then about 4 years ago, it just felt like it was time to move on from that industry. Mm-hmm. And I made this leap into the unknown, didn't know what I wanted to do next. But just kind of opened myself up. I knew what I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty scary, but I was following my gut. Mm-hmm. And I really couldn't at that point do anything about that.
Right.
So in my free time, I started organizing group meditations with friends from the music industry and friends from the tech world and the places I was partying at night.
Yeah.
This was about 3 years ago at that point. Mm-hmm. So there were people who were, meditation was starting to become this
thing.
Where
were those? Like at your at home
they're apartments? They're at my friend's apartment in Olita. Mm-hmm. And the first one was 20 people. And at it, we meditated for 20 minutes. It was actually pretty awkward to be with these people that I knew from like business and nightlife to just like all sit in quiet together.
Right.
And then I spoke up a little bit. I was pretty nervous, but I shared about where I was in my career, how I made this decision to leave my job.
Right.
and how I had no idea what was next. Mm. And it was at a time when like a lot of my close friends were like really crushing it with their businesses. So I was like, social media was just like toxic thing. I was just comparing the shit out of myself to everyone else, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So we started talking about it, and it became, it kind of create a space. It created a space for people to talk about other challenges as well. And the next month we did the same thing. We meditated, we talked about real shit. We did it at my buddy's loft, and there was something about it that just really resonated with people.
Yeah.
So to get you caught up to today, after about 4 or 5 months of having this monthly meetup of meditation and conversation, we realized that we wanted to, there was an opportunity to bring those values to the rest of the city. So we partnered with the City Parks Foundation in New York, and we did a mass meditation at Central Park at Summer Stage. Wow.
That was the first
one? That was the first Big Quiet, yeah.
Awesome.
About 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was great, you know, just that blend of quiet, honest conversation.
And they were open to it? Like, they didn't say, like, you know, what is this? They were initially like, yeah, this is a great idea. Just the City Parks
Foundation. The City Parks Foundation. I was, so because of my time in the music industry, I was on the Arts Committee board.
Oh.
So I already had it in.
Man, and they were, so many boards.
They were looking
for... Be friends with this guy.
They were looking for more creative cultural programming. Yeah. So I just made a pitch about it, and, and they went for it. And it was cool. It was the risk that they took, but the city wanted it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how many have you done now?
So our monthly Medi Club still happens. Mm-hmm. It's 250 people. It's in Greenpoint every month. We've done Big Quiets. We've done a ton in the city. The last one was at Madison Square Garden. We did the top of the World Trade Center before that. We just did one last weekend at a music festival in Florida called Okeechobee, where we were given the main stage, which is pretty sick. And we
That's
partnered
really
with
cool.
members from Arcade Fire and some of the singers from Local Natives and created something really special.
Wow.
And now we got a tour in store for fall where we're going to be bringing it to five cities.
Yeah. That's really cool. How can people find out about it?
The best way to find out about us is on Instagram, at The Big Quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have we also have a website where people can sign up to learn about where we're going to be next.
Awesome.
And that's bigquiet.nyc.
Cool. And has anyone ever met, like, to date at a meetup, at a meditation Medi Club?
What do you...
Like, met, like, two people they met there and they started dating, or, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, accidentally. Obviously, it's not a matchmaking service, but has anybody met at, and started dating as a result of being at Medi Club?
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
I hear about it quite often.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. It's cool because people who go to our events are a particular person.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be people who are interested in personal growth, like deeper connections.
Mm.
So it's kind of a self-selecting group that comes through.
Right.
So we've seen that a lot of single people come, and it's a good way to meet people. And we've had people get engaged through our events too. People that have met at our events. There's
a
wedding that's coming up.
That's really cool.
In a few months.
Are you going to marry them? Because I know you have your license.
I do have my license. I'm not. I wasn't asked to marry them.
Oh, okay. Fuck those guys. that's really awesome. Have you ever met anyone through it?
I have a practice around not dating people that I meet through our events.
Oh,
yeah.
Tell me more about that. Is it because something went awry?
It pretty much my rule of thumb is if I meet someone at one of our events, and I feel like there's something there that can be explored that's real, that's not just like a sexual urge, then I'll open up and take it very slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done that with one person. We wound up dating for several months, and it was great, and we've, you know, stayed friends.
Mm-hmm.
But and this was a really challenging transition for me because when I worked in the music industry and when I was in my late 20s being like very single guy in New York City, I was often quite careless with how I would follow my sexual urges.
No kidding.
So going into this work, creating spaces where we're meditating and we're talking about, you know, real, honest, emotional stuff, it just felt really important to me to be very, very mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why I do that.
That's awesome. And going back to your 20s, what was your experience with that? And, you know, just like from my knowledge of you as a friend, like you are very comfortable with yourself sexually. Did that start in your 20s? Did it start earlier than that?
Great question.
Tell us about that.
So, no, it definitely has not always been the case. When I was in college, there are probably 10 times where I was with women that I wanted to have sex with, but couldn't get it up for because I was so in my head.
Oh.
And it wasn't until later on in my life where I actually started speaking about that, where I learned how common that was for men rarely men want to speak about that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the big shifts for me with meditation was once I had a practice that was able to help me get out of my head and get more into my body and to start to pull stress out of my body, one of the really awesome benefits, which is not one that you hear about a ton, was that I felt like I could be a lot more comfortable in my own body and feel a lot more comfortable sexually. So it wasn't until my mid-20s where I really felt like I could just be me with women.
Do you feel like you're meditating during sex sometimes?
No.
Because you just said, like, you have to get out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And to get out of your head, you use meditation.
So the style of meditation that I practice is not a practice designed to get you out of your head. Mm. It's more of a practice to allow your mind to settle and to be with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. If that means no thoughts show up, great. Or if that means thoughts are coming, to just be aware of them.
Right.
So I don't actually practice around removing thoughts from my head.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say is the difference between who you are now as a single person versus who you were in your 20s?
Well, let's see. When I really started to get comfortable with myself and dating in my mid-20s, mm-hmm. I went on this sexploration, probably mm-hmm. the best way to call it. And I'd always been really interested in self-help. Even mm-hmm. in like elementary school, I was like counting like fat contents on my snacks and shit. It was weird. So I've always been really interested in like ways to better myself. So mm-hmm. when I was in my 20s and sex became this thing that I started to become more excited to explore.
Right.
I went ham on. I went all in.
Mm-hmm.
And this will get to your question about how I'm different between then and now.
Right.
So in my late 20s, in my mid to late 20s, sex was really, it was like an experiment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was like always doing research, which was kind of cool, but also kind of went beyond the point of just like being present with a partner.
Right.
But in my late 20s, it was really about, for a little while there, it was about like, how can I like learn all the different ways to help a woman achieve an orgasm?
Right.
And like I had a group of friends and we would just like all study stuff. We'd go to seminars, you know, we do DVDs, we do like groups around it.
Right.
I was in like the orgasmic meditation community for 9 months.
And was that because you guys wanted to be like sex gods or like because you like genuinely cared about the women and wanted to please them or like what was the meaning behind like at the time just like wanting to be good at making a woman come?
I mean, I think it was all those things. Like, there's no way that we weren't drawn to it because of our egos to some extent.
Right.
But what was really cool, one of the positives of being in that experience with my group of guy friends, single guy friends, was it did shift the way that we talked about women. Like when we would go out and have dinner as a group, we were communicating about sex in a way that we had never experienced before. It wasn't just like, yo, did you fuck her? Did you do this? Did you do that?
Right.
We were really like exchanging notes and talking about bodies.
Right.
Now we became, I think, and this was like a really awesome part of our life, but I think we became like hyper-focused on performance, which I later learned, we can get into that now or later, but through some really interesting experiences, I later learned that just being hyper-focused on performance kind of defeated the point of sex,
mm-hmm.
for me at least.
And yeah, let's explore that now. So what should you be concerned with during sex, if not performance?
Well, to answer that, I'm going to give you like my quick evolution of like how I got to where I am today. And I'm still very much in like student mode, but I do feel like I've made progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually was how I got into this in the first place, was how I feel different today compared to then.
Mm-hmm.
And to quickly answer that first, today I feel a lot more present when I'm with my partner sexually.
Mm.
Whereas in my 20s, I was all performance based.
Right.
And when I was in my early 20s, I couldn't get out of my head. I couldn't even get it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, it's like being in my 30s, I've allowed myself to start to just be in the experience of sex.
Mm.
And that's still actually quite challenging for me,
mm-hmm.
but it's been a big improvement since then. But mm-hmm. to answer the question before that, once I started getting into like the sexploration stuff with my buddies, and it was all about like mechanics. Mm-hmm. It was all about tips and tricks and like using your tongue and your finger a certain way. And there was actually a book that I think is really powerful. I don't know if it's ever come up
on
the
show.
She Comes First.
Amazing.
You guys talked about it yet on the
show?
No,
please. I've heard of it, but tell everyone what's it about.
She Comes First is a great book. It's written by Ian Kerner. He's a New York Times sexologist, a very respectable author. The first 100 pages of that book are about female anatomy, and it's written in a very tasteful way. It was recommended to me by women in their 30s who read it and learned a lot about their vaginas. So reading that was really, it's really informative. The next 100 pages are technical. It's like, it's how a person can use their lips, their tongue, their gums, their fingers to put it all together in what's like a cunnilingus Bible.
Wow.
And the author openly speaks about how, I think his thing was like he had erectile dysfunction and wasn't
so
really able
to. Yeah,
he like really went in on how to go down on his partner.
Right.
So he created this book around it. And that became the Bible for my buddies and I in our mid-late 20s. Was just like, we were just really into going down on women. Anyways, resources like that were really great for us. And eventually we got into like Taoist sexual energy movement stuff where, and I play with these things sometimes now, but
like Kama Sutra,
A little different. The Taoist practices that I got into and that my buddies and I were exploring had more to do with really understanding male anatomy, really trying to make sense of the male orgasm and understanding that an orgasm and ejaculation can be two separate physiological experiences. That an orgasm can occur without an ejaculatory response for a man, leading to an orgasmic experience that's more similar to the way that women orgasm, cyclical. So they're not completely depletive.
And I would say the opposite is like when a girl squirts or something but doesn't have an orgasm, right?
I can't speak to like anatomically if that's like an actual comparison, but
you know what I mean.
I see where you're going with it.
You know,
from my experience of talking to women
that
have experienced ejaculatory orgasm, right? Very limited, right? I'm not like no claims on this. I've heard that it's not as depletive as what my understanding is of ejaculating as a man. That's very. That takes a lot of energy.
And when you say depletive, you mean your boner is gone.
Not boner gone necessarily, because I mean I've ejaculated before and stayed really hard,
right?
But if my body has felt really drained, and this Taoist stuff that I'm talking about, it all comes from this mindset, right? This is an Eastern practice, and the belief is that when you ejaculate, when you release millions of sperm, your body is using the maximum output of energy at any single moment, more than running, more than digesting food, right? You're preparing to create life. So what happens in that moment is a big blast of energy. So what happens afterwards is
you're tired and you want to go to bed.
You're fucking tired.
Yeah.
You know? And so the Taoist practice looks at how you can conserve that energy while still experiencing sexuality in your body.
Right.
So they really look at practices that allow you to experience orgasm and pleasure without ejaculating.
So
which
tell me.
I was actually just seeing a doctor about this. I was at the doctor because I was like getting some pressure in my prostate area, or like my perineum area, which is also known as the taint.
Okay, amazing.
Or the grundle. And I was legitimately talking to the doctor. It's like, I wonder if this has something to do with most of the time when I masturbate, I don't ejaculate. I'm just like cycling sexual energy.
Right.
My dad has this theory that it's really bad for me. And
it doesn't sound so good. I gotta tell you. It sounds a little unhealthy.
So I was talking to the doctor about
it.
Anyway, she thought it sounded cool. She said that she didn't think it had any direct issues. But what's great about that practice is it does allow the pleasure and the sexual experience and pleasure to be extended. How healthy that is in the West, slightly debatable right now.
Right.
But to get it back to what you said.
Yeah. Wait, but then when you do ejaculate, is it more? Is it like a lot
more? It's less depleted. This is what's really interesting about it.
So less.
So an experience that I might have with a partner is when I feel like I'm going to ejaculate, I'll slow my body down. I'll breathe in a certain way. And then I'll sort of like really reground into the moment with the person, and I'll feel like a mini orgasm in my body. My body will shake and contract like an orgasm without ejaculating. Mm. And then that will happen. That may happen again a few minutes later.
Right.
And let's say by the fourth or fifth, that would be like a really, that takes a lot of like focus and right. like really being in my body. This isn't happening every time I fuck.
Right.
But the fourth or fifth time of having these mini orgasms, if I finally do ejaculate, it's the pleasure is very strong and I feel way less depleted afterwards. I actually feel a lot more energized.
Mm. So are you sure you're not like ejaculating little tiny things?
That can happen sometimes. Like yeah. sometimes I'll edge it. Right, there's like the right. practice of edging is like you'll uh-huh. edge like a little
right.
too far and like some you'll release a little bit.
Right.
And sometimes you'll have a reverse ejaculation where you like ejaculate into your body.
It's not
a chill feeling for sure.
What?
And then it's like you're done.
Really?
It's like, yeah, you're done.
To every guy?
I can't speak for every guy, but like yeah. that was that was spoken about in some of these practices and books that I got yeah. into, and I've experienced it before.
Like, it's like if
you're really holding it back.
Right. Would it be like the feeling of, no, it definitely wouldn't be.
Like ultimate blue balls.
Yeah. Wow.
Not too chill.
Yeah.
But anyway, crazy. Yeah. To get fully caught up right. to your question before, after going through a lot of those experiences, mm-hmm. my buddies and I found our... Have you talked about orgasmic meditation on the podcast
yet? No, please bring it to life.
Well, it would be really good to have an expert from that community speak to it, because I'm like by no means a representative to speak on behalf of it. But I'll speak right. about my own experience.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
My buddies and I landed, like from the single crew, mm-hmm. landed in an orgasmic meditation weekend seminar. Uh-huh. It's an 8-hour course.
Where do you find out about these things?
These things used to get sent to me back in the day when yeah. I was really into this stuff. People would hear about shit, they'd send it my way. They'd uh-huh. be like, Jesse, I think you'd like this.
Right, right.
And then I would rally the guys
right.
and we would all go.
It's amazing.
So we showed up to this one and we thought that we were going to be getting into a some sort of workshop around, you know, enhancing our orgasm skills.
Right.
Which is what we were really interested in at the time. But what we learned about was a practice that exists between two people who may not be in a sexual relationship or a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. Two people who may not have any sexual experience with one another besides the act of orgasmic meditation, which is very gently stroking a woman's clit for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. No more, no less. And this really blew our minds. Because we couldn't imagine what it would be like to like practice something with a person, with a woman
right.
that involved touching their genitals without our genitals being touched.
Right.
Right. Without us getting something. I'm doing.
What did figures. They say the reasoning was like behind not being touched, but just touching the woman?
It sounded kind of crazy at the time, but it actually made a lot of sense once uh-huh. Once I started practicing it. It is more meditative. It's actually an energy exchange. This is where it sounds a little weird and you kind of have to like experience it to mm-hmm. like understand it.
Because I feel like you have to be like kind of a selfless lover in order to be turned on by touching someone else for 15 minutes.
It's so this is what it is.
Yeah.
My experience, I'm not turned on at all.
Mm.
When I practice orgasmic meditation, and to be clear, when I did this in this, I was in this community for 9 months. I had maybe 8 different orgasmic meditation partners. I wasn't intimate beyond this practice with one of them. I didn't kiss one of them. I never saw one of their breasts.
You just rubbed all their clits.
I just rubbed all their clits. And they were most of them were women that I wouldn't date. I wasn't sexually interested in.
Uh-huh.
But through this practice, there was something really powerful about connecting, bringing our bodies to such a present place, fully removing the outcome of the experience where you're mm-hmm. just in it. Like you're feeling the touch. You're mm-hmm. feeling the energy of the person. You're sharing this experience.
Right.
It's trippy. And I ultimately, it was a little bit much. The community was a bit much for me.
Right.
So I stopped going to the events. But what was so powerful about learning this practice was it was really the first time where I started to become clear about the fact that I was so outcome oriented when I was having mm-hmm. sex. It was either like thinking about my stat teacher from junior year in high school so yeah. I wouldn't come. Mm-hmm. Or putting all my energy into doing all these things to try to make the woman come. And what was so cool about the orgasmic meditation experience was it really helped me just be present in the moment, just to focus on pleasure regardless of what happens or doesn't happen. Right. That's still a tough thing to stick to, but was a really powerful turning point for me.
That's really awesome. That's really cool. I'm just taking that in for a second.
It's a lot.
What would you say to someone who would say like that is like a sex cult, essentially?
A sex cult?
Yeah, like if someone were to call that a sex
cult. The orgasmic meditation community? Yeah. I would, I mean, the cult word gets tossed around with my work too, so I understand that people have, you know, preconceived ideas around people gathering around a shared belief system. I mean, I respect people's opinions. I wouldn't personally try to argue that.
Right.
It's not. I mean, from my own experience, it's not.
Right.
I could totally see why people would think that.
Yeah. And have you ever been...
Does it sound like a sex cult to you?
No. I mean, it sounds like a learning experience.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like some women who can't orgasm, they go to a class, and a woman, like, basically teaches you how to, like, rub yourself a certain way. You know? It's, like, the same kind of shit. It's just, like, exploring sex and learning more. And sometimes when you do that, you're physically touching each other. Which leads me to my next question, which is, have you ever been to like a sex club? There are some high-end clubs that we were actually talking about at Touchpoint this week. And it's a lot of people really liked it. So what do you think? Have you ever been there?
I've been invited several times to some of the sex parties. I have a couple friends who are really into it. They're in partnerships. They have primary partners, and they practice polyamory, and they go to these sex parties. It does not appeal to me. I mean, it'd probably be cool to go as an experience, just to have that experience and to, like, you know, soak it up and follow the rules. But it doesn't speak to me. I think part of that also is just right now in my life, I think I'm drawn to less intense social experiences and a party, which is already a lot of energy, plus like everybody interested in doing shit with each other, just sounds like a lot.
That's fair.
What about you?
I've never been to one, and I've never been invited to one. So
I have a feeling that might change soon.
Maybe it will. We'll see. It would be research, obviously. And also, you don't have to participate in these.
Yeah, that's totally true. You can
just go and observe, which is really great. So going back to your current partnership, can I call it a partnership? A figuring out ship?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you guys meet?
We met, let's see. We met through a work event. Yeah.
And, do you know her zodiac sign?
Oh.
Do you know when she was born?
Yeah, in May, but I don't know her actual birthday.
Beginning or end?
I don't know. I have no idea. Just know it's May.
Okay. Well, let's talk about yours.
Okay.
You're a Scorpio.
Yep, November 8th.
November 8th. Do you know anything about being a Scorpio? You're our first Scorpio on the pod.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What an honor.
I think, right? So, do you know anything about the personality traits of a Scorpio?
Only a little bit, mainly from what you've told me.
Which is?
Intense.
Yeah.
Passion driven.
Yes.
And dark side, like shadow side.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe a little fiery.
Yeah. And
tell me more.
Do you? Yeah. So all of the above. Scorpios they like love passionately and they hate passionately. They're very like expressive. We are neighboring signs, so we're right next to each other. So we share some personality traits. And you know, you actually said this earlier about being in your head. That's definitely a Scorpio thing as well. But we would have to find out your rising and moon sign, which is based on the time you were born.
Okay,
do you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, let me just quickly check it out. Okay, let's see. So your rising sign is how other people view you. And like how you come off to the outside world, and your moon sign is like kind of like your second personality. It's like how you communicate. Oh wow, it makes so much sense. So you're a rising Gemini, and your moon is in Taurus. And whoever you're dating is either a Gemini or a Taurus, because they're born in May. So that's a good thing for you, just so you know.
Okay, thanks, Lynn.
Yeah, no problem. Your rising Gemini makes you so curious. It's like why everything is so exciting and fascinating to you. Your ideas are materialized into reality. You have immense thirst of knowledge and interest in several issues in combination with the search of new information. And that makes out your character and your ambition, which is very true about you. And your moon is in Taurus, which makes you even-tempered, calm, and sober-minded, practical, and level-headed, which is so true, almost annoyingly so.
Okay.
So let's talk about religion for a second, and then we'll get to this next poll. Do you care? First of all, what's your religion? Your last name is Israel, so I have a guess, but you tell me.
Yeah, I was raised Jewish, and I consider myself to be Jewish, but pretty open to other stuff, too.
And is this important to you when you're dating or finding the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Another Jewish person?
Yeah.
That's religion. Not important to me. Mm-hmm. What is important to me is an interest in spirituality of some sort.
Okay. That makes sense. And so then that leads me to my next question, which is if you're Jewish, is it a deal breaker for you if someone isn't Jewish? And for you, it's
not a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that next one doesn't matter. If it were a deal breaker, would that be because it's something you care about or because your parents care?
Well, my parents wouldn't. It's kind of hard to say because the reason why it's not a deal breaker
is because your parents don't care.
My parents don't care and I don't care. I mean, my parents care. My parents would be stoked if it was a Jewish person. Right. My parents care a lot more about Judaism than I do. Mm-hmm. That's really important to them, but not to the point where I wouldn't date somebody.
Yeah, and you have a sister.
Right? I have a sister.
And is it the same goes for her, or they want her to more so end up with a Jew?
Same amount of open space to explore. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And she's drawn to non-Jews.
Aren't we all? If you were, and this we might cut out, I'm just saying that before as a note to myself, but if you were a few months into dating someone and they still had dating apps on their phone, what would you do about that? Would you care? Would you ask them to delete them?
A few months in? If I hadn't had a conversation with the person
you
yet
had had about, a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what the conversation was.
The conversation was, we are dating, and you are my boyfriend, and I'm your girlfriend, and we're exclusive with each other.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if we have the boyfriend-girlfriend talk, and we're exclusive with each other, and the person still has dating apps on their phone, I would 100% bring it up and be not stoked about it.
Right.
Yeah, but I would open it to a conversation before jumping to conclusions, which I try to do.
Mm-hmm. No reason at all. You're one of the first guys that has ever brought up therapy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now I'll tell our story. So Jesse and I met like. How many years ago was it now?
Six?
You were 29, I think.
Really? It was only 4 years ago? Feels like it was longer.
I know. No, you were 28. You were 28.
Okay, I was 28.
Yeah, you were 28.
That makes sense.
And I was, what, 23?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at math. Yeah, I think I was 23.
You were.
Or 22. Maybe even 22, because that was like your type around then. 23 would have been too old. but we met on Tinder. It had just come out.
Yep, just dropped.
Just dropped, and we were like in the beta Tinder. Mm-hmm. So it was like not creepy guys and dick pics yet. And we met on Tinder. We didn't meet up. I remember... What was the first message? The first message
wave,
was two waves.
Yeah, from me.
Yeah, from you. And then
two
I said...
Two hand emojis.
And I said, is that a wave or a slap or something like that?
That's right.
Yeah.
I liked that.
And you were like, it's both. and the rest was history.
What happened from there?
So Tinder is where we met, and it was like in beta at the time. And you did the two waves. I said, is that a slap or a wave? And you said both. And then we talked for like a month before meeting up, which is unheard of.
I was traveling.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, in this world, you know, like, for people meeting up on dating apps, it's over if it's, like, been more than a second,
24
I feel
hours,
like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I stuck it out because, like, I was new to the dating app world. And we
That's
ended
the only
up,
reason why you stuck it out?
Yeah, the only reason. Okay. No, you sounded normal enough. And then we ended up meeting up. We went to Burger Heaven. No. Burger Joint.
Yep.
Burger Joint was our first date. And I had lost my voice, so I couldn't speak to you out loud. And I had to write on a piece of paper to talk to you.
So cute.
It was really cute.
It was movie stuff.
It was movie stuff. And now we're engaged. So anyone can meet on Tinder. Thank you so much. This beautiful rock. No, it didn't work out, but we maintained a beautiful friendship. Which,
well, how do you define it didn't work out? I mean, we had a good run.
Oh, yeah, we had a great run. I mean, it didn't work out. Means like we're not married.
Right.
It's like, you know, every relationship usually fails because you're only meant to be, or not only meant to be, but you only really end up with one person, right? So it's like, it's not that it failed or, you know, it didn't work out, but it just, we weren't the perfect romantic fit for each other, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, this gets right into what we talked about that night, mm-hmm. when we were talking about other people that we had been with.
Right.
I think this is directly related to that.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So, to me, that comment mm-hmm. has a lot to do with masculine and feminine polarity in
people. Right. Here we go. Yeah.
Okay. So, my theories on this mm-hmm. come from really just other people's writings.
Right.
The one author who speaks about this most prominently mm-hmm. is David Data. Mm-hmm. He wrote a really interesting book called The Way of the Superior Man, which I really recommend for all people to read.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say that my quick interpretation of his mindset as it relates to what you just said
mm-hmm.
is that all people have masculine and feminine qualities or right. energies or essences within them.
Right.
And he really looks at masculine and feminine, not as man and woman, but as masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
And that some people have more of a feminine essence than a masculine. Some have more of a masculine than a feminine.
Right.
It happens that more men than women have more masculine than feminine. More women than men have more feminine than masculine. But we definitely know
that I have masculine energy. And by the way, I'm only wearing pink because I was forced to, and normally I'd be wearing a sweatshirt. I tried to wear a sweatshirt and they told me no.
What I was going to say was we probably know mm-hmm. people that are the exception of the majority, right?
Yeah.
So a woman, like you just said,
right.
that you often identify with mm-hmm. more masculine energy than feminine energy, more right. than your woman. So what you just said was something that I think plays a lot to these energetic polarities in people.
Right.
So the example that you just gave of like a man, you reaching out to a man as a woman, reaching right. out to a man and saying, hey, you know, in so many words, would you right. like to fuck?
Right.
And your concern for that man to go, how dare you just want to fuck me?
Right.
That's so fascinating, I think, to say out loud
right.
because what we're used to seeing in society, I would say,
right.
is the reverse,
mm-hmm.
right? Is like a man doing that and maybe a woman having that experience. I think it's mm-hmm. actually really beautiful that you can speak to that and show that that's not always the way that it goes.
Right.
But I do think that in the situation, the example that you gave, someone, a man with more of that feminine energy,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe more of an emotional essence
mm-hmm.
when it comes to this stuff would be more likely to react that way.
Right.
And someone with more of a masculine essence wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I answer that question really through looking at who you're talking to,
right.
what type of personality they have, and really how they show up.
Right.
And I think part of yeah. why we actually didn't work out in a longer way is because
we're both masks.
Because we both have both. I mean,
yeah.
I talk a lot about my feelings.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of my work is me being in my feminine.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I feel like I have more of a masculine
you
essence.
Do.
You have a lot of feminine energy as well, but I think ultimately you just pass the line a little bit with
yeah,
masculine.
Yeah, no, of course.
And when it comes to this guy David Data's work, yeah. which I think is so brilliant most mm-hmm. of the time, it's all about polarity. It's about finding the polar opposites.
Right.
So I think that we had a little bit of the similarity and energy, which right. created us to bump heads a lot.
I agree.
Not a lot, but sometimes.
Yeah, no.
And that Uber moment was that, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100% that. 100% that. It's funny. Actually, going back to that Uber thing, just to like, dissect this a little bit. So it actually wasn't because I wanted to be like an independent woman.
Okay.
Initially, I think there was a miscommunication about whether or not I was going to spend the night.
Oh, interesting.
And I think whether or not you remember or will admit, I think you did want me to spend the night.
Okay.
Or assume that I was going to.
Yeah, yeah. And, I definitely assumed that you were going to.
Yeah. And when I, you know, brought up the Uber and like, you know, getting myself an Uber and you insisted on getting it, to me it wasn't I'm a strong independent woman. It was like a power move on your end. Like she wants to leave, so let me make her leave right now so I can regain the power in this situation. You know what I mean? So I'm going to tell her when she's leaving, if she wants to leave.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I definitely know what you're saying.
So that was my, that was why I reacted that way.
And it's funny because I think that my reaction, maybe some of it came from that, but more mm-hmm. of where my reaction came from right. was actually something that I don't think really applies to you mm-hmm. at all, which is a place that I go to sometimes where if I just, like straight up, we met up, had mm-hmm. a quick slice of pizza, had sex right. and then parted ways. And there's this, right. there is a thing in me, mm-hmm. even though you fully kind of led the charge on that, there's right. a thing in me that feels guilt around that experience, mm. which is, I think, something that I'm learning to right. grow past.
Right. I actually noticed that about you back in the day.
Yeah.
Like you would get me an Uber to leave your apartment from Brooklyn. But that's also because I couldn't take the subway, even though I'm from Manhattan.
that may be different. But in regards to this moment sure. that we're talking mm-hmm. about, there's this part of my brain that's like, this woman like came all the way out here.
Right.
Like we just like shared intimately, but like very briefly.
Right.
Not to say that it was like super fast or anything.
Yeah.
And now she's taking off. Like I want to at least like support the process. Mm-hmm. That was my mindset.
It's very
But there probably was yeah. some of that power stuff
too. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I'm psychic. No, just kidding. Yeah, so going back to female to masculine and feminine energy, so what's the person that I need and the person that you need? You said that my energy is somewhat female but mostly masculine. So I would need a male who has somewhat masculine energy but is mostly feminine, right?
I'm no expert in this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be real clear about that.
Yeah, but from
right?
what you've learned.
From like my I don't think I have any way to say exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. From my own experience, I've found that the relationships that fit best for me are when I'm with someone with the polar opposites of what I have. Mm-hmm. So if I have more masculine energy, but some feminine energy, finding a woman that has more feminine energy, but some masculine energy mm-hmm. tends to be a good fit. There's a million other factors.
Right.
I'm drawn to women who show up in their masculine through drive. Mm. Through being not afraid to push me and challenge me to like really like do what I'm here to do on this earth, mm-hmm. right? To like push me to give my gifts,
right?
You know, but ultimately, and I like how the masculine shows up in women in that way. But mm-hmm. ultimately, I really like women who can just surrender into their feminine, who just like after a long day, just like want to be held, want to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I love giving that to a partner. Mm-hmm. That to me is really attractive. Mm-hmm. And of course we can switch and that's really nice as well. So just, you know, being clear about how that polarity fits into some of the things that feel good in a dynamic is really good for me. So like right. to help you identify what the right fit is, because that's yeah. what you just asked about, I would want to talk you through some
so
of the things
that you're
drawn
to. So funny you say like coming home from work and wanting to be held, like that's the last thing that I want when I come home from work. Like the last thing I would ever want
right.
is someone touching me at the end of my fucking day. Like holding me fucking prisoner in their arms. Like I would go nuts.
Lynn, would you say that you tend to date men who maybe want that from you when they
yes,
get back from work?
Absolutely. Yeah. But
but let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Does it appeal to you when you're in a dynamic where you're dating a man who's maybe more feminine than masculine in his essence,
mm-hmm.
and you come home from work and you're like in your masculine workplace.
Sure.
And that man is in that emotional place of just like really wanting like you to spend time with them and take care of them. Does it appeal to you to give that to the person? I know you don't want it given to you, but does it appeal to you at all to give that to the person?
Yes, it does. It does.
Really interesting. Right. So, and it actually kind of reminds me of something that you said earlier about other relationships that we were talking about.
Right.
So I always have to remind myself that the way that I would do something in a relationship and what I want in a relationship is different than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I always, and this is, I think this is a very, dare I say, masculine trait.
Right.
To think that our partner should be doing it just like we should.
Mm.
I think that that's a very, because, you know, very rational
I
way.
I have that.
Very rational that way. Whereas with, you know, someone of a different essence, it can often be emotional, not as rational.
Right. So, do you enjoy going down on a girl? Like, I know that we talked about it before, and it's like about the, like, you know, obviously pleasuring her, but do you actually like enjoy the act? Because I know a lot of girls don't enjoy giving head, but they do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it to be incredibly sexy and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like fully part of like my fantasy process when thinking about wanting to be with someone or thinking back on being with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, to share that with a woman before we have sex,
mm-hmm.
Before we have intercourse, before we fuck,
mm-hmm.
It's such a great way to lead into it, I feel, because it incorporates so many of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I love being able to, like, taste someone there. I love being able to smell someone there. I love being able to feel someone there and, like, see how their body moves. And it's such an intimate way to, like, introduce a sexual experience between two people. So just from, like, a sensory experience alone, I love it.
Right.
And I just think that it's really, to me, it really turns me on when a woman surrenders to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for a woman to, like, lay down, like, spread her legs and just, like, reveal, you know, her, like, most intimate part to my face is a really ultimate act of surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really sexy. I have something that,
please. I like when the guest, like, flips the switch and just says the question or an answer.
I noticed that you, on the break, mentioned that you were getting cramps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, do you talk about periods on the show?
That's a great question. We don't really talk about periods. We've talked about period sex. And like if women and men still like to have sex when they're on their periods.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found it interesting. Most women didn't, but I need to have sex when I'm on my periods.
Most women said that they didn't like to?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I was pretty taken aback.
Hmm.
Yeah. And actually, it's very, like...
Doing balls around it?
Yeah, and it's hit or miss with guys. Like, guys either don't care at all or they're so horrified.
Hmm.
What's your stance?
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because I never really thought about periods much.
Mm.
Until... So, my former work partner, someone named Lauren Billy, and some friends just started this organization.
Oh, I saw it on Touchpoint. Touchpoint just posted about it.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think... I feel like your listeners would like it a lot. Actually, they would... The women who run it would be good to be
I was just
going to
say, please, tell
sick.
Lauren. Yeah.
But it's called Cycles and Sex, and it's a company designed to create content and events to help people better understand their bodies, specifically around reproductive health.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's for men and women, it's really geared towards, I would say towards women to help them better understand what's going on in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting to me because it's opened me up to this whole world of reproductive health.
Right.
As someone who, like, I don't even know if I did sex ed when I was younger. If I did, I don't remember it.
Right.
But, understanding how periods work, like as a man, understanding how periods work, understanding how like I came into this world,
right?
Understanding the cycle. This is actually the first time the person that I'm dating now, we're tracking her cycle together so I can like really make sense of how she shifts emotionally, how her body changes based on where she's at in the month.
That's, you
and
know,
it's really, it's just been like, I'm just like, how did I not know this shit for 33 years of my life?
Yeah.
So I just thought it's cool to mention that. And on top of that, I do think that periods are really sexy. And it makes sense. I mean, it's such a hormonal release.
you just brought up a great point, which is like, how involved should a guy, should a man be in his partner's like period cycle? And right now it's zero to negatives.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No,
a negative a lot of the time.
No man is like involved whatsoever. And it's like this like horror movie that the woman goes through like completely by herself. And like she has to like let a guy know if she's like PMSing or if she's like feeling bloated and like he won't understand that or like little things. And it would just be such a better world and like an easier world for women if we were able to communicate that better. Like if we were able to say, sorry, I can't do that because I'm feeling fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. I have my period, instead of like coming up with all these excuses. Yeah, I mean, it's just, that would be great.
And I think part of what I think is really cool about mm-hmm. this conversation right. and also cycles and sex is the way that that starts to happen
mm-hmm.
is through communication around this topic,
right.
which for, you know, for whatever reason is just like, we don't, it's not something that we really talk about.
Right.
It's, but it's weird because it's this critical part to how we exist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. So what exactly is Cycles and Sex though? Like, is it something, is it like a newsletter that tells you about your period? Is it?
Right now it's, a series of events. They've done a couple, I think they've done two so far. They're like, it's like an experiential conference
mm-hmm.
where there's workshops, talks, and like product, playing with products mm-hmm. around reproductive health and sexuality.
Awesome.
And they do a really great job of branding it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I think, one of the strongest Instagrams in the game.
That's awesome. I'm going to follow it right now.
Cycles and Sex. It's so informational and provocative. And I think really important stuff.
I love that.
Plug.
And what do you think about like taking care of yourself when you're in a relationship? Do you think that you like take care of yourself just as much as when you're single? Do you do it less? Do you like indulge and kind of gain a little bit?
It's a good question. I definitely, in my looking on my past in relationships, I definitely find that I'll fall off track a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've been in a serious relationship,
right.
so I can't really speak to it. But yeah, I have a you know where I notice it most is I lose my charge to be social.
Mm.
You know, like I find that when I'm in a serious relationship, I don't have the same drive to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's to do with the partners. Maybe that's something else. I'm not sure.
Right.
But being social, like being out there, like mm-hmm. stepping out of my comfort zone socially, those are really important ways for me mm-hmm. to take care of myself because they like
right.
keep me energized and
right.
stimulated.
Me too.
So that's probably one way that shifts for
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah. So like if I saw you and you were like, you know, a few pounds over normal, I would assume that you're in a happy new relationship.
Yeah, maybe.
No, seriously, you are like, your body is great, but if you did want to bulk up, I've been trying this thing called Beachbody On Demand. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
It's really cool. I've been trying this one class called 21 Day Fix, and it's just like if I'm feeling like I'm going to go on vacation soon or just like feeling groggy about myself when I look in the mirror, I take this class, and it's pretty legit. Yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Would you call it world class?
I sure as fuck would. It's definitely world class, and you can get a free trial if you text ACME to 303030. So you should do that after the recording.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying that you should text ACME to 303030. Thanks for the prompt. How do you text with girls? Are you like embarrassed to respond right away? I know you have your read receipts on, which is like not my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because it's like you want me to know that you read it and didn't respond, or like you want me to know like that you haven't read it in 5 hours. But either way, no one's happy about a read receipt, you know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I have read receipts on so to help people. So I'm just really, I'm intentionally, oh, let me say, I respond to text messages very slowly. And I kind of treat my texts like my email inbox. I sit down and do them in batches. Like, I'll probably do my text from, like, I don't know, 2 p.m. until now when I'm on the subway later. I like to do them in batches. So I turn my read receipts on to help people understand that I just, to, like, create a precedent for the fact that I respond slowly, because definitely with dating, it becomes an issue. I've had women get pretty offended about it. So that's why I have my read receipts on. In regards to my own style of texting, you know, I used to be so into game, into game. That was pre-sexploration. I was all about pickup artist work and all of this, all like the getting to the psychology of wooing people. And I've been, I feel like for the past couple of years, I've been trying to get that out of my system, because so much of what I used to practice, what I learned, was like not me. It was like, it was, you know, games to try to like almost trick someone into being interested. So it still comes up sometimes, but I, what I try to do is to just is to respond as honestly as possible. And I don't put any time constraints. I don't like intentionally not respond to have a reaction.
What if there was something that you saw and it seemed like more of an immediate situation? Would you say, even though this seems like a situation I should answer right now, it's going the next batch at 8.
No, I respond. I respond to the time. If I saw a time sensitive thing come through, I would.
That's good to know. Like, you're very regimented in your time. And let's talk about porn. So you are very spiritual, you're very sexual, and you are comfortable with that. I don't feel any spirituality in porn. Do you, because you're like so sexually advanced, do you feel like you're kind of like above porn in a way? Not above, like as in better than, but meaning like it doesn't really do much for you, or do you still enjoy porn?
I enjoy porn sometimes. I don't watch it. I don't watch porn a lot, but when I do, I like it. For me, the way that I'm able to enjoy porn is by keeping it a treat.
So, like, how often?
Probably once every 2 months.
Oh wow, that's a real treat.
The other thing is, I keep my laptop at my office, so I very rarely.
Your phone?
I don't. No.
Why? Why not?
No.
To what?
Just not. It's too small. Doesn't feel right. I don't know. It's just, it's not the experience that I'm looking for. So, but anyways, so when I do porn and have it be the treat, I find it to be really nice. I do notice that if I watch porn right before I go to sleep, I don't sleep as well. And
meaning like you have nightmares, or you just like can't like get back, like you wake up throughout the night?
No, I just don't feel as rested when I wake up in the morning and like throughout the night.
Like nightmares of like plumbers coming to like fuck you in the ass. So what's your routine before bed then, if it's not porn, and like if you want to pleasure yourself before bed, which a lot of people like to do?
I don't usually pleasure myself before bed. If I masturbate, it'll happen in the morning. We spoke a little bit earlier about some of my practices around that. But I do have my practices for sure before I go to sleep. It's called J time. It's a real thing.
That you made up for yourself.
I made it up for myself. Do you want to know about it?
I'm ready.
So I dim the lights. This is almost every night. Dim the lights.
You dim the lights?
Yeah. Big on light dimmers. Just in general, lighting, very important to me. I dim the lights. I get a candle going. I'll say it on the air. Recently, I've been really into face masks.
So I have a variety. I think I've seen you Insta story
I've been posting about it. It's been a nice way to get free product.
Really? People are sending you free face masks?
Yeah.
No way.
Sure.
Are you tagging them?
Sometimes. Anyone out there, if you want to send me free...
Send him some face masks.
Skincare products.
You know, that's so funny, because I actually don't like face masks. But maybe that goes back to the masculine energy.
This is my feminine side, I would probably say, coming out.
Yeah.
I've been into the Korean face masks lately, the sheet style. Anyways, I have this new essential oil. I feel challenged speaking about this. This new essential oil diffuser.
Don't feel challenged. I love
Jaden. I make a blend and let that go in the apartment. I do a foot soak.
What do you mean let it go in the apartment?
You ever use an oil diffuser?
No.
Oh. Have you ladies?
Is it like incense?
No, it's like it's oils that come from like natural that come from good smelling products of the earth.
Oh.
You mix it with water and then it steams it into the room.
Cool.
It smells nice.
It's really nice. Okay, so the oil.
Anyways, we're almost done.
No, please. Based on the night,
I'll do a foot soak with some of the tangerine essential oil. And then I put on this robe that has my name in cursive.
Aww,
and really very
nice.
Soft.
Yeah.
And then I'm ready to go to sleep.
And that's great. That's beautiful. And we usually like to end our podcast with a quote or like.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, of course.
Do you watch porn?
I do, yeah.
How often?
As often as I can, yeah.
And what do you do when you watch it?
I usually masturbate, but sometimes I'll watch it like before masturbating, and then I'll masturbate.
Do you use a toy?
I don't use a toy, but shout out to Untamed. Is that what they're called?
Unbound Babes.
Yep. Shout out to Unbound Babes because they just sent me an adorable little vibrator and then like another on-the-go vibrator, and I definitely will be trying them out. But I don't use my hands or a vibrator, actually.
What do you use?
And I'm not the only one who does this, so I'm totally fine saying it because hopefully there are other women out there who resonate with it. But I actually hump things.
And you know.
Yeah.
That was a leading question because I know that you hump when you masturbate. But
yeah.
I thought it would be cool to share because
no,
that's
I think
how
it
I
is cool.
To too, and
yeah.
I still hump sometimes.
I still hump too.
For sure.
I think so. I actually have girlfriends who will, like, let's say their partner doesn't or isn't in the mood to have sex with them. Or even if they are, they prefer or just like to hump their partner, like, instead of actually having sex with them, which is really interesting. Yeah, to a finish point. So, like, I have a friend who is a lot more sexual than her partner, and when he, like, doesn't want to have sex, she humps his leg and has an orgasm.
Wow, what does he do?
He literally just lays there. And she says that
like,
it's...
He's like on his phone or is he watching?
Probably. He's like probably watching a game on his phone. And like she is like humping his leg and she says that like the masculine like hairiness of like the leg and just like the circumference of it is just like the perfect like thing for her to hump.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. It is really interesting. So if
you're... Shout out to all the humpers.
Yeah, shout out to the humpers. Hump day has a new meaning. But so I love ending these episodes with like a philosophy that you've learned from your dating experience or just like a quote that you've picked up that you like. An example of one is like when someone shows you who they are, pay attention the first time. You know, something like that. Yeah. Or maybe it's just like some words of wisdom that you can share or anything along those lines.
Sure. Recently, I was communicating with somebody. I was DMing with somebody where there had been some sort of like flirtation in the past. And we were actually talking about your podcast. And in the conversation, this concept of slow playing came up. Oh no, of intentionally short responses came
right.
up. And what I communicated to this person was that what I find most sexy is when someone is just truly being honest in their right. communication when I'm getting to know someone. And that's what I think is so important about that is when somebody really reveals who they are, you just find out sooner rather than later if it's a fit or not.
Right.
So that's my thing is like, how authentic can we show up when we're getting to know somebody so we don't waste anybody's time?
Right. It's like the, like very often women and men will get into a relationship and they'll like be on their kind of best behavior.
Exactly.
And then like the real true person will come out like 3 months in. And I think it's really important to just be your, whether it's your worst person or your best person from the start. and just show as much of yourself as you can, which is, I think, what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, I've had so many issues with that in the past because failure or not being able to win the person over or sleep with the person or whatever, like, the objective has been in the past. Failure of not being able to get to know the person in the way that I want would feel so scary that I would, you know, kind of manicure myself to best position to what I think they wanted. And then get it, and then you reach this point where you're like, well, I'm not fully being me. And then the process of that is just, you know, it's a whole other thing.
Thank you so much for coming on. You're the best, and I'm just so happy to have gotten you on here to just share some of your wisdom that you picked up over your years. And hopefully everyone will check out a Medi Club, but only go if you've meditated before, right?
Everyone's welcome.
Oh, everyone's welcome. So, but it's not a class on learning how to meditate necessarily, but you hopefully can pick up on it because of all the great vibes in the room. So check that out. Follow The Big Quiet on Instagram. If you want to follow Jesse on Instagram, Jesse Israel, J-E-S-S-E, Israel as in the country. And you can slide into his DMs. Just kidding, actually. Sorry, I just realized you're dating someone. And thank you guys so much for listening, as always, and have a beautiful day.